Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Monday, October 24th, 2016. First of all, I want to thank the guest hosts who held down the fort while my wife and I enjoyed the beautiful autumn colors up in Ontario, Canada. Yes, Tucson, there is such a thing as autumn. Hard to believe when we return to the record and near record high temperatures here in southern Arizona, which of course made it feel much more like summer than fall. Thanks to Dylan Smith. Dylan is the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to longtime political observer and commentator Jim Kelly. And thanks to Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. All of you made me very proud of your hosting of my show, and I thank you very much. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got our podcasts and the complete archive 24/7 available at buckmastershow.com. 790-2040 is our live line number if you would like to join us during the political face-off and enhance our conversation today with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. We would love to hear from you. We do kick the program off every Monday with the face-off, and seated to the right of me, Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Don Jorgensen is here. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Frame, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging surfaces, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Of course, they're on Facebook. Don, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back in Tucson. Also had the chance to go back. We went to New England to see some of the fall colors and old and dear friends. So that was a pleasure and nice to be home.
Isn't it amazing how many of the reds and oranges pop and raspberry color pops out of those maple leaves?
It's stunning. it's just stunning. You described it well a minute ago. Talk about that old Trix cereal with all the different colors. That's what the hillsides look like.
That's what it looks like. And Bruce Ash experienced a little of this a week or so ago in Pennsylvania and Minnesota. Pennsylvania areas, Bruce, were pretty much at peak, right?
Pretty much. I wasn't able to enjoy it quite the way you guys were. I wasn't there on vacation. I was there in business. But both Minnesota as well as Pennsylvania were quite lovely.
It's been very dry in parts of that part of the world, so some areas were more vibrant than others. But overall, it's a great experience.
It was 86 degrees in Philadelphia when we got on the plane that afternoon, after having a Pat's cheesesteak, I might add.
Yeah, and it was near record temperatures in Ontario, Canada, but the difference is their near record temperatures were the mid-70s.
That's right, yeah. So,
all right, Election Day, 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're finally getting close to, many people are hoping, the sooner the better, Don Jorgensen. I wonder if we're going to be thinking after this election, regardless of who wins, we're going to have to make some changes with the way we, with the whole process just goes on too long. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you'll find anyone that disagrees that it goes on too long. And the best example of that is the speculation for the next races will start probably on November 10th. Yeah, and that's what happens. The presidential candidates, both of them, have been running for how long now?
Long
2 years
time.
Easily.
Yeah.
The campaigns have been running in earnest for over a year. It's just amazing. And the question comes up, however, every cycle that it's been too long, and yet there's no interest at any legislative levels in Congress that I've ever seen. To change it or make it shorter. That when you look at the amount of money that's involved at all levels of it, in order to compete, in order to provide the media coverage and access, which again is a profit center for media, as you know, there's just not a lot of incentive to cut it short. I'm not sure what it would take to do that.
What do you think, Bruce Ash? Could we simplify the primary process?
Well, probably not. Simplify and shorten are two different things.
All right. Begin with shorten. And well, then
in terms of shortening, Don raised a good point in terms of the consultant class and as well as the media class who have a real vested interest in dragging this out as long as possible and making business as a result of it. This is big business. So from that standpoint, and these are people who largely drive sort of the rest of the dynamic process that is a presidential campaign. From the standpoint of vetting candidates, of really understanding the issues that each of the candidates, whether they're in the primary process or later when you get down to the final contest, after conventions. The other issue really is watching our candidates at their best and sometimes their worst, understanding to the extent that you possibly can how that candidate might hold up over a four-year term, how that candidate might handle different crises, how that candidate might react in a variety of different situations. And I think from that standpoint, American voters, if they're paying attention, and I'm not sure at all American voters, well, not just in this election, okay. but certainly we've seen this, you know, this quantity of low information voters now for several cycles. But to the extent that people are taking the time and creating the interest to pay attention, these are immensely informative kind of campaigns that are run, and I would resist just from a pure citizenship standpoint doing anything that artificially shortens that period of time. And like I said, I don't think the political, the media, or the consultancy class has much interest in doing that either. We might, but not so much that.
Yeah, Bruce made two comments that I'd like to expand upon. And again, for a face-off, we find ourselves in agreement once again.
That's
here for
okay.
the most
once
part.
In a while, right?
But it's great when we talk about the process. It's true. Bruce made reference to informative campaigns,
right.
And that's the ideal. Unfortunately, too much of what happens is lack of information or celebrity. And I'm not talking about any one candidate here.
Don't go back to 1800. It's been the same.
Exactly. And so if this, during this long extended time, we are actually being informed and learning more about the candidates, I think there'd be a different reaction to it than the who said what or what nasty thing or what distraction could be thrown up by the other side each time. And so the problem is too much of what passes for media and communication is not informing the public. Sometimes it's attempting to deceive the public. Sometimes mm-hmm. it just becomes entertainment. And that's the shame of it. I also like what Bruce said in terms of the length allows us to see the candidates from all sides. Often in the primaries on both sides, you get the flavor of the week.
Uh-huh.
So one candidate shows up, they do real well for a while, and then that changes. It also made to change from when the voting starts state by state primaries. And so the time does allow us to see what happens or answer a lot of those questions. In this campaign, you had questions on both sides about stamina, about mm-hmm. temperament. And all of those issues were answered by the length of the campaign and the time that it took. It's a painful process, but I think we wind up getting finally the information that we need to make an informed vote.
So the second part of your question, the original question that you asked me, had to do with simplification. And I think that to a certain degree, both major political parties have done a lot to simplify the process. But the party process, the primary process, is far more complicated. There's a lot of rules. But certain things that both parties have done to streamline their processes, though, I think are valuable. The Democratic Party went through a process after the McGovern election and changed a bunch of their rules based upon the results that they had in that election. The Republican Party, after the 12 election, went through a significant number of rules changes and enhancements, things that we hadn't done before.
Fewer primary debates.
Well, fewer primary debates, but there also was, for the first time in I think 20 years, there was a lack of cheating and gamesmanship that ultimately played a major part in terms of delegate votes that were going to be counted. There was no state for the Republican Party that was in penalty, which is the first time it's happened in five election cycles. So from that standpoint, things are somewhat simplified. But each party, though, has a very complicated course to how you get to, 2,800 or how we get to 2,300. And, it sometimes is a little mystifying to primary voters.
One example on the Democratic side this past year was the issue of superdelegates. Mm-hmm. And that became mystifying, particularly when you look at how those were apportioned. And that was one of the issues that came out with Hillary versus Bernie on the Democratic side. There may be changes to that process as a result of what happened this year. I don't know if I can predict that it will simplify the process, mm-hmm. but it might change the process.
Well, but would you anticipate, though, that there be a greater number of superdelegates or a lesser number?
Oh, I would anticipate a lesser number. No.
And this is not a knock, but I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, I say that my own party as well. It's not a knock because I agree with you. I believe it when I see it, but there is talk about it.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Love to hear from you, 790-2040. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Two weeks plus one day before Election Day, Bruce Ash is here and Don Jorgensen. It is our Monday political face-off, 1220. And let's go to the live line. Byron has called us at 790-2040. Byron, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Bill. I want to say hello to Bruce and Don.
Hi.
And
hey, Brian.
Honestly, I just want to say thanks for all season long for providing education and different points of view.
Sometimes
entertainment. It doesn't turn away sometimes.
Yep.
But I want to thank you because I think the number one issue everywhere, not just Pima County and Tucson, is education to educate the public about the candidates, the issues, and the political process. And I thank you because you're making that happen.
Thank you very much, Byron.
You know, I almost wish, Byron, you made a great point. I almost wish that there was a way to transmit the importance of this, particularly into high schools, where government, history, and so on. I won't say that they've been eliminated, but they certainly there's been somewhat of a de-emphasis in it. So many people leave high school today, and oftentimes I think college as well, without really much of a profound understanding of how the political process works, and whether you're never going to get married. Or even if you're going to live in an igloo someplace, I mean, everybody's affected by government. You know, so if you have kids, if you are married, if you are in business and so on, you know, your involvement with government continues to grow. And unfortunately, we're not as steeped today. And I hate to sound like my dad now, but I don't think we're as steeped today in really understanding and being able to connect the dots, you know, in terms of our history, our culture, and how government works.
The other challenge, and I thank you for your comments too, Byron, and I couldn't agree more, and actually we have to give Bill a lot of credit here for bringing on present company
for 25
excluded,
plus years.
I say present company excluded, intelligent discussion
thank you.
About these issues. The challenge in piggybacking on what Bruce said is also the fact that we don't all receive the same news anymore.
Right,
everyone
right,
receives
right.
it within their own.
They listen to their news.
The segmentation.
Their own
of
segmentation,
the news
and it's not.
So different.
And it's travels from social media or within social media to network to cable, whatever you choose. And that's one of the challenges. You talk about our parents, and in the past, at least we were all discussing the same information.
I call it kind of the preaching to the choir segmentation of the news business.
Right.
People are going to listen to what they feel very comfortable in getting the news from.
And the news that will validate their own opinions.
There you go.
That exists.
Yeah. Look, I read the Washington Post, I read the New York Times, I read the LA Times, I listen to the BBC, I listen to Radio New Zealand, because I want to know sort of where I am in the midst of all the world.
Who is winning in New Zealand? I've been wondering about that.
The National Party.
Okay.
Those are conservatives, just in case you wanted to know. Yeah. Or at least their version
their
of what
version.
A conservative
yeah.
is. Because you know, that varies from country to country.
I am very suspicious of the polling in light of the Brexit vote. Some of the polls Don Jorgensen had shown right up until the eve of the election that the United Kingdom would stay the United Kingdom and as a part of the European Union. And some of those polls had 7 or 8% lead for staying in the EU. So I'm very suspicious of polling right now.
Well, you're not alone. There's a lot of that. And I think in this case, if there were mixed indicators across the country, then I think that there'd be a lot more question about the validity of the polls. But when you look across the board, and we'll talk about this presidential election with,
right.
with Clinton versus Trump, you have 30 of the 33 polls, not just showing Hillary Clinton ahead, but ahead by margins well beyond any margin of error. And that's supplemented with the indicators that are starting to come in now with regard to early voting. The percentages above average for Democratic ballots coming in, not knowing who they vote for, but
right.
they're able to identify Democrat versus Republican votes in several states. So all the indicators are consistent. And I think that gives a bit more validity. But when you're talking about single polls and telephone polling, mm-hmm. There's so much variability now that they do have to be taken with a whole shaker of salt.
Polls are being used in politics today as vote suppression.
Hmm.
There's no question about it. And you look at the way that the samples are set up. You look at the questions that are being asked, and literally, you could have a very, very skewed. There is little doubt in my mind when you have reputable polls who've pretty much been right on with results for a number of years, and you have these outliers that the outliers mm-hmm. probably aren't the real deal. We talked earlier about how difficult it is for a pollster to get even one reply, whether it's a valid reply or not. But then add on top of that how these polls are being used by multiple news organizations, particularly, as a voter suppression tool, and you see that probably the only polls which are relatively accurate are the internal polls,
mm-hmm.
and both political campaigns are literally being run on those, and you're not going to read about those in the Wall Street Journal or on the NBC News.
Hmm.
Right. Those are purchased privately by the campaigns for their own use. What's interesting is when they do exactly what you're describing and attempt voter suppression by publishing some of those polls that are often skewed. Martha McSally did that not too long ago, showing coming out with a poll that demonstrated a huge lead. And that was strictly to depress funding and support of her opponent Matt Hines' campaign.
Is that the poll that showed her up by like 19 or 20
something
points?
Something like that. Something crazy. And John McCain has done the same thing. This mm-hmm. is a tactic that has been long used.
Mm-hmm.
They're used for all
Never
kinds of
reasons. Never by a Democratic candidate?
Never.
Though?
No. Okay. Not once in
all
history,
right.
Bruce.
All right. Okay. Good. How glad we settled that.
You know, we talked about how long this has been going on. A couple of years. Yeah. How can anybody be undecided at this point? But there are undecided people, right, Bruce Ash?
I guess they are. It's pretty clear, though, you talk to people, and even though they say, well, you know, I haven't made up my mind.
Right.
But when you talk with them a little further, oh, they've made up their mind. We become so contentious. I had this conversation with my brother-in-law just about 2 hours ago, who's not a Republican, but will be voting for Donald Trump, even though he doesn't really particularly like the guy on a personal level. But he did not want to talk about the issues
mm-hmm.
because we come from two different sort of viewpoints, and he just didn't want to get into it. And frankly, I didn't want to get into it with him either.
Let's take Richard's call at 790-2040. Hey, Richard.
Hey, good show, Bill.
Thank you.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, the only real watchdog media we have left right now is WikiLeaks, that sort of thing. We have much too much media consolidation. We need antitrust legislation. We don't have any politicians in our country willing to step up and say that. We've got AT&T getting ready to try and buy Time Warner. This is not right.
Well, Donald Trump, within hours of that $86 billion sale being announced, suggested that we probably do need a very strong antitrust sort of look at that transaction. And it's critical so much of our media not be consolidated all into one source.
That's right, Bruce. Well, if he did, then congratulations. Way to go, Trump. You finally did something right. We appreciate that.
even a broken clock is right twice a day.
There you go.
Exactly right, Bruce. Okay. With Trump, that fits perfect.
Thank you, Richard.
The good news there is you have both the Republican head of the Senate Antitrust Subcommittee and the Democratic ranking member expressing the same reservations. So I think we'll see a good hard look at this merger before it happens, because that relates back to one of the things we were talking about earlier. With the consolidation of media, there are not that many independent investigations and independent views of what's happening. So the reporting becomes less and less objective when you have fewer and fewer owners of media.
I've been around in the media long enough to remember the 7 rule, where a big corporation could only own 7 television stations, and they could only own 7 radio stations. And all of that changed when the media was deregulated.
Well, technically, Comcast Universal only owns 1 network, you know, their cable network, but,
true,
you know, it's a juggernaut.
Okay, gentlemen, we will get you two together 2 weeks from today, and that, by my calculation, is
election
eve. Thank you very much, Don Jorgensen. Glad you had a safe trip back east. Thanks a lot for
being
with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Bruce Ash, always good to see you. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, sir.
Mo's Gallery, thank you, Mo, and your family for bringing us the Monday Political Face-Off. And they have done such a great job, Mo and his family, since 1985. This is a local business that believes in outstanding quality with custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, hanging systems, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com and on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. 5-Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. 5-Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have 5-Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call 5-Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Tuesday at noon on The Buckmaster Show, the United Way approach to helping homeless people in Tucson, plus Dan Gibson, a visit Tucson with the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. And of course, we've got our worldwide live listening on the buckmastershow.com website and KVOI's fine website. It's homecoming week at the University of Arizona. Anthony Jimeno covers Wildcat sports for us on the Buckmaster Show. Anthony, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. This is the Cats got the week off. They've struggled obviously this year. How do they turn things around, Anthony?
Well, I guess the first thing is they have to get a little bit healthier. Which last week there was some positive news on that front, where Brandon Dawkins, who started the majority of games at quarterback this year, he was back at practice after missing the USC game because of a concussion. And Rich Rodriguez even said that Anu Solomon, if people remember Anu Solomon, you know, he was also able to take live reps in practice last week. And of course, he's been out since after the first game because he hurt his knee in practice after the season opener, hasn't played since. So if Arizona has perhaps his top two quarterbacks available, plus Khalil Tate, who has filled in the last few games, one start, two relief appearances, Arizona is going to have some nice options at quarterback. The situation is not much better at running back, however, because it sounds like Nick Wilson's the injury he suffered in the USC game, it sounds like it's more than just a one- or two-game deal. So problems at tailback, but getting better at quarterback, and that's a start.
It is the homecoming game, the Stanford Cardinal visiting Arizona Stadium Saturday night at 8 o'clock with the homecoming weekend tickets still available at $20. It's going to be an interesting game. The Cardinals struggled, my goodness. Who would have thought, Anthony Jimeno, the Cardinal would be where they are right now in the Pac-12?
Is this way with college football? You just never know. I mean, Stanford was, you know, they finally get picked to win the league. Nobody ever picked Stanford to win the league in the last, you know, and then they go ahead and they do it in the last several years. So this year they've struggled. They are really, really in a bad way on offense right now. You know, their offensive line, which is always their strength, they're just big and physical, and they just maul teams in the position. They had a bunch of turnover after last year, and people gave Stanford the benefit of the doubt because they recruited really well. It's what they do on the offensive line, but that group has to come together. Christian McCaffrey, who was the Heisman runner-up last year, fantastic player. He's been banged up. He played last week, though, after missing a game, so expect to see him Saturday night at Arizona Stadium, which will be fun. And their quarterback play has been really substandard, you know, for, seven, six-plus years. They had Andrew Luck and Kevin Hogan. You know, they had great stability, and now they've got a couple guys, and they just haven't really worked out very well. So they are near last nationally in offense. So perhaps Arizona's defense, which hasn't been very good, has a fighting chance.
You've been covering football in this town for a long time, with the Star, before that, the Citizen. And what's this latest website you're involved with? Give a plug for that, Anthony Jimeno.
All right. It's called allsportstucson.com. And it's kind of a collaboration between Javier Morales, who's the site founder. And he's, Javier, if people remember, he was the Arizona Daily Star basketball beat writer when Arizona won it all in 1997. Tucson born. He knows Arizona stuff going back to the WAC days and stuff like that. So Javier he's kind of been out of the business a little bit, but he always maintained the bug.
Mm-hmm.
So he founded this website. His brother Andy, who's a local teacher, educator, he got really involved with covering high school sports at TucsonCitizen.com before it closed. So Andy knows I'm convinced he knows everybody in town. And he certainly knows everybody in high school in town. Andy does a fantastic job covering high school sports. And then myself and Steve Rivera, longtime Citizen basketball beat writer, we kind of joined forces with them recently. And, we got some people to invest some money, to do some advertising. And I think we can provide, I'm not saying we're going to like be the end all be all of sports in Tucson, but it's certainly a alternative, firsthand alternative, historical stuff you can't find anywhere else. And so that's what we're doing at allsportstucson.com.
Kind of like what I did with my radio show here. I mean, you've got your own sponsors. You're a small businessman now, Anthony Jimeno.
That is about right. And if anybody wants to advertise,
yeah,
they can track me down. We've got some great sponsors and stuff, and we're just going to see how it goes.
You know, it's always fun homecoming. You know, you've got the pep rally and the bonfire Friday night at 7:15 west of Old Main. You got a parade that will start at 3:45 on the U of A Mall. There are tickets available. You can call 621-CATS, and you can call the McHale ticket office. How has attendance been? Technically, that USC game was a sellout, but my goodness, the weather didn't really contribute. We're having this record heat wave here right now.
Yeah, that was one of the big topics after the last game. And from where we are in the west side of the stadium in the press box, we're looking out on the east side, which was in the sun. And anybody who was on Twitter saw a bunch of pictures of basically empty seats. You know, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I was sitting next to the reporter who came down from the Arizona Republic, and together we literally hand counted the students left in the Zona Zoo section, which theoretically fits about 10,000. I believe our count at the beginning of the fourth quarter was about 261.
Oh my goodness!
So, the weather, and I know people who are over there on the east side. Apparently, it was just absolutely scorching hot.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not my place to tell people, hey, you should show up when it's, you know, it must have felt well over 100 degrees and to sit out there for 3+ hours. I wouldn't want to do it, so I don't blame anybody who didn't. Now, Saturday night's game, again, a late start. There's been a lot of late starts at Arizona Stadium, but the weather's supposed to be great. 8 o'clock should be nice and cool, so I'm not sure what people's excuses will be this time. But at least for the university, they claimed it was a sellout. So they apparently raked in some money from tickets sold.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
They probably didn't do so well in the concessions because I think the stadium was about half full.
Yeah. So quickly here, Anthony, and I'll let you go. I do appreciate you taking some time. Looking at the schedule, who do the Cats still at? Colorado, right? Got Colorado. You got
right, Colorado's coming up.
They're in the top 25. Washington State they're in the top 25. We've got them.
Yeah, I don't think the Cougs have quite broken the top 25 yet.
Oh.
But they're really close. They probably should be. They're playing like a top 25 team. They've won 5 games in a row.
Wow.
Arizona, you look at the rest of Arizona's schedule. They've got Washington State after this week in Pullman, so that'll be a difficult game. It's always kind of a tough travel up there to Washington State anyways. Then they're back home for Colorado. Then they go to Oregon State, and that's the one game you say, they might be able to win this one. Then they finish up with ASU. And ASU's not playing particularly well right now, and they've had some quarterback injuries as well. So, Arizona's going to – they've got 5 games left. They're going to beat – I still maintain they're going to beat somebody we don't think they're going to.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Just the way college football is, and they've played well enough at times that the odds are they're really going to put it together in 1 week and pull off an upset.
This game.
And then you look at those last two, the Oregon State and ASU game, and you figure, yeah, that's a, they've got 50-50 chances at least of winning those games.
So I see this game Saturday night at the stadium as really critical to getting back on the right foot. This is a big game.
I think you're right, because Stanford's right there to be taken this year.
Yep.
And Arizona is, you know, everybody's talking bad about Arizona. We know they all often play really well with a chip on their shoulder. They've had a bye week. They should be rested a little bit healthier. Sometimes strange things happen in night games at Arizona Stadium. So I would think if they can pull off a win here Saturday night, you know, we're gonna keep interested for the next month.
I hope so.
The college football season.
Anthony Gimeno, thank you very much. Congratulations with the new website, which again is alltucsonsports.com.
Almost allsportstucson.com.
There you go. Thank you, Anthony.
All right.
Thanks a lot. 12:45 on Buckmaster. Green Things sponsors our program. Thank you, Jan and Jack. Your support is critical to our work here, and you've taken 3 acres, expanded it to 13. It's a destination in itself, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com, their website. Check it out on the website for the information about the free workshop Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City and Grant County, thank you so much for your support over the years for our program. We send so many people over. This is a great time of year over in that part of southwestern New Mexico. The Western New Mexico University Museum hosts and houses a large collection of that wonderful Mimbrace pottery. I mean, that alone is worth the three-hour drive over to Silver City. You can check out the many things to do and the great places to stay. There must be at least two dozen places on their website, good places to stay. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. So much is going on in our community concerning animal well-being issues, specifically over at Pima Animal Care Center. With the groundbreaking for the new facility, Karen Hollisch is with me in studio. Karen is head of the development and marketing at PACC. Karen, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a busy time. Ground was broken recently on the new shelter. What is the latest thinking with the timeline?
Well, the construction for our new state-of-the-art Humane Care Campus, which was made possible because of the voters, thank you, is going to be in two...
And the voters said overwhelmingly they wanted this deal.
They did. Yeah. They did. And we're really, really grateful for that. So phase one of the new facility will be done by the end of 2017. And phase one is going to be a whole new medical clinic, a whole new cat adoption area, some new dog housing kennels, a new enforcement area. That's all going to be new, and it's going to be done at the end of 2017. Phase two, which will be a renovation of some of our existing dog kennels, will happen by the end of 2018.
While I'm very excited about the new facility, I'm a little concerned about the transition point, because that's going to be stressful on everybody, the four-legged folks and the two-legged people.
Luckily, the four-leggeds are pretty resilient. The two-leggeds are adjusting, because we know that while we're a little, you know, we're squeezed in like sardines right now into a small space, we know that the end product of a new humane campus to help people and pets is going to be so much better.
Now, there's a pet support center. This is new since we've talked.
Oh, this is amazing. So last year, we received a grant from PetSmart Charities for $150,000 to start a pet support center. And that is a phone bank that staffs 7 days a week by three full-time individuals. And it used to be that if you called Pima Animal Care Center, it was, I'll fully admit, it was hard to get someone on the phone because all of our personnel were out working with the pets and the people who were already there.
So you had, like, you got a message,
yes,
and a recorded message, leave a message, and that
exactly
can be frustrating, as we all know.
It can be frustrating, yeah. And it was hard for people who wanted to adopt a pet at the center and wanted to know something about the pet, and it was hard for people who were considering surrendering their pet to the center. So the Pet Support Center exists to help these folks get their questions answered. And in the first month since it launched, they've taken more than 5,000 calls. So there is a staggering need for this service, and it's just amazing. So PetSmart Charities has made it possible for us to help these people, and in many cases to help people keep their pets instead of surrender them to the shelter, because now we can offer folks advice.
Is this like a hotline?
Mm-hmm. It is a hotline. It's 724-7222.
724
7222.
Okay.
And they can give you resources on low-cost spay and neuter options in the community, low-cost trainers. And it's our hope that we're also pursuing other grants so that they can have, we hope, a pot of money to help keep people with their pets. Right now, they can only offer advice. Like, hey, go to this vet. It's low cost. Or go to this trainer. He or she is low cost. We hope to be able to underwrite some interventions this year to help keep people with their pets.
Hey, what is this I heard about a huge gift of dog food? That's welcome.
It was awesome.
You guys must go through a lot of cat and dog food, but this one specifically is for the dogs.
It was. We received 150,000 pounds of dog brand food. So if you ever go to a PetSmart store and you buy a bag of dog for dog food, it'll say on the bag, you know, when you buy a bag of this food, a bag gets donated to a pet in need. So that happened for us. Dog for Dog teamed up with PetSmart Charities, and they delivered 150,000 pounds of food to feed our dogs for about the next year and a half.
Huge pallets of this. Yeah.
Yeah, it was three semi-trucks.
Unbelievable.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, and so that, you know, your position was created, it's already been 2.5 years.
Right, correct.
Yeah, I mean, and you've had some wins, and you've been working to kind of, in some of these areas, to these big donations, they do help.
They really help. You know, a lot of the amazing progress we've made over the last couple of years is in direct result of donations. So our offsite adoption program is funded by a grant from PetSmart Charities. Our trap, neuter, return program with Best Friends, all of those sorts of things that help us go above and beyond what our normal budget can do are made possible by donations. So we're really grateful to the community.
And what's this Friends of the PACC?
So the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is our nonprofit partner. Mm-hmm. So if you wish to donate to help our pets and you want your gift to go to a 501c3 entity, you can give to the Friends of PAC. Their website is friendsofpac.org. And the Friends of PAC funds things that the county isn't able to fund, so specialty medications or medical equipment. Like when I first started at PAC, our doctors didn't have a dental x-ray machine. So they would give dentals to dogs and cats and just kind of do the best they could. It was better than nothing, but they
didn't. Working without x-rays.
So now we have a state-of-the-art dental x-ray machine. We have long-acting pain medications for cats who have traumatic surgeries like amputations. Mm. We're able to treat mange, all sorts of things, giardia, things like that because of donations to the Friends of PAC.
You know, I love to look at these rates that you've got here. I've got in front of me your save rate. 90% of pets taken in at PACC find homes. Yay.
Yay,
good
indeed.
Good news. This goes, I mean, look at these numbers. Of course, it's radio, so we can't put a graphic up, but I can tell you that in 2012, 59%. That is a huge jump to 90%.
It really is, and it really is because of the community support. The community wants us to save every savable pet we possibly can. Everybody who works at PAC has that same goal, and you know, by banding together and supporting our county shelter, we can get there. We want to save all the savable pets we possibly can.
Look at the intake numbers.
Yeah, our mission numbers are going down as well. Last year, we took in just over 20,000 pets, and believe it or not, that's a big dip from 5 years ago. So the investment in spay and neuter programs in our community, targeted spay and neuter programs for community cats and for big dogs, it's really making a difference.
Can volunteers be useful?
Always, always, always. Last year, our volunteers donated the equivalent of about 42 full-time staff members.
Whoa.
So we really couldn't keep our doors open without our volunteers, and we have opportunities across the entire organization. Walking dogs, socializing cats, being an adoption counselor, so you're a matchmaker, office work. People can help me with thank you letters, things like that. No matter what your skill set or interest level is, we do have a place for you, and you can learn more at pima.gov/animalcare.
Hard to believe my brother and sister team of kitties that I have at home. Their one-year anniversary with the Buckmaster household is coming up Thanksgiving weekend, which is just amazing how time flies. They've settled in in so nicely, the little brother and sister.
And you came on our Black Friday sale last year.
I wonder if there's going to be anything similar.
We are. We're going to have a Black Friday adoption sale again.
Wow.
This year. It was really successful. We got you and Anna come in.
Yes.
So it was wonderful.
We had a great time and brought home the kitties, and they're doing very well. They had some challenges, but they found the right home for people to deal with these challenges. What do you need right now most of all from the community, Karen Hollish?
Three things. Adopters. We still have more than 600 pets at our shelter, even though we had a bang-up adoption weekend. We do never turn away a pet in need, so we're always overcrowded, and we always need homes for our furry friends. So number one, please come adopt from us. We also have adoptions at PetSmart stores, so check out our website to see where you can find a pack pet. Number two, we always need volunteers. We could not keep our doors open without the volunteers, so please look into volunteering for PAC. And number three, we always need community donations. You can go to our website. You can buy something from our Amazon wish list. Just type in Pima Animal Care, and all the things we need for our pets are there. You can make a monetary gift. You can make a gift of old towels or blankets. There's so many ways that you can give to help our pets.
Karen Hollish, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good news. And don't forget the senior pets, the senior
yes.
dogs and cats. They've been turned in many cases because the owner has died. They're very lonely. They'd love to live out the rest of their life in a beautiful home.
They would.
A loving home. All right, Karen, thank you.
Thank you.
For Tucson, well, Mike Shaw's show. Mike Check with Mike is coming up, and Ray's going to help out on that this afternoon, 4 to 5. Wake up, Tucson, 3 hours in the morning, then me, Buckmaster, back at 12:04. Thanks, Ray Allen. Great job as usual. Good to be back in the seat here. Have a great afternoon and evening.